Bread can serve as an important connector between people. It can fuel discussions, break through social barriers, and institute change. Sean Starowitz has explored all of these aspects of bread. As the artist in residence at Farm to Market Bread Company, Sean is constantly baking, but he's also an artist whose projects often focus on bread and community. Sean, so good to have you here. Welcome to the show.
It's a real honor to be on here. Thank you, Steve.
To start, what would you call yourself? Are you a bread maker or are you an artist? What are you?
It depends on kind of the audience that I'm engaged with.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll introduce myself as just a bread baker, and then sometimes I'll just introduce myself as an artist. So it kind of depends on the role in which the project is occurring, because it opens people up differently. If I introduce myself as an artist first versus a bread baker, and then sometimes I say both.
And the connection between the two is what?
Well, they're both inherently the same kind of practice, right? It's about craft, it's about technique, it's about aesthetics, it's about quality of ingredients or quality of approaches. So for me, they're inherently the same. And so what ended up happening was I graduated from the Art Institute, and then Mark Friend at Farm to Market found me for a project that I was working on and basically just said, why don't you just come work for me? Just come be our artist in residence. We'll work it out.
And what do you do there? What does that involve?
Well, so it's really a glorified way of saying bread baker.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first year, I split time between the office, doing design stuff, social engagement for the bakery, and then baking. But also they granted me the flexibility to take time off to pursue my artistic projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then it switched over to the full-time oven position. So I ran the ovens for about 2.5 years. And now I'm technically kind of just the artist in residence. So I just use their facilities, and I'm kind of doing a variety of projects on a national level now. And so they're kind of my home base here. And so we have just this great working relationship.
And you're connecting to the community in some very interesting ways that go beyond bread making but involves bread making. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So the first project that really kind of started it all was Bread KC, which was started by myself, Andrew Erdrich, and Aaron Ulm Shipman. And so the idea is we host a meal, we charge a fee, that fee guarantees you a ballot and a meal, usually between 3 to 5 courses. And then as you eat your meal, 3 artists or cultural workers present projects that they need money for. We cast a vote. Whoever gets the majority of the votes gets all the money we collected.
Huh.
So since 2010, we've been able to raise $23,000 for various projects.
Good for you. So it's a Kickstarter for artists.
Basically, yeah. It's the live experience. It's not as streamlined. It's a little more gritty. But also, it's not always just about the money, but it's about having a room full of 150 people listening to your idea for 15 minutes. And you might not get the vote, but you're getting an audience of those people interested in your projects that are going to follow your projects or even help you financially or just with materials. So that's what we really pride ourselves in, is the sense of community engagement that comes from that project. And then I've been involved in a variety of other projects.
I was going to say that's one kind of connection. The other kind of connection you're making is actually getting out into the city and selling bread.
Yeah. So Fresh Bread is a project that started back last year around this time. And the idea is vacancy and food inaccessibility are inherent. They're tied together. So where you have high amounts of vacancy, you have what they're called food deserts. So no access to fresh food.
And by vacancy, you're talking about empty lots in the city, which just permeate inner Kansas City.
Yeah, it's empty lots, empty buildings. We have 18,000 vacant structures.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's quite alarming. And so Fresh Bread was an opportunity in which I convinced the bakery to let me use their facilities. And I would bake fresh bread, and then I would occupy a vacant storefront. So I worked with graphic designers. We would make this vinyl cover that would drop down, cover the vacant storefront, and then I would sell bread based on neighborhood income. So nothing varies everything's under $5. So there's a $1.50 loaf, a $2.50, a $3.50, and a $5 loaf.
Hmm.
And so the cheapest one I do is a honey wheat, which has yeast and local honey that's at $1.50. And then the most I'll sell one for is about $5, and that's kind of an oatmeal walnut loaf. So there's a little more ingredients to it. It's a little heartier. But and so the idea was that it would be this kind of hope and this positive transformation of vacant space, but also activate the street, get people moving, and a variety of kind of other aspects that come with bread and feasting in the streets.
That's so interesting. How did that go over?
It went really well. The health department shut me down on my third pop-up.
Really?
But, yeah.
Because?
Well, because
you there hadn't signed the papers or something.
Yeah, I didn't sign the papers. There is a couple different forms that it's really difficult to try to figure out online with them. So they were very helpful, and basically they didn't think that I was actually an FDA-approved facility. And so I had to go back to Farm to Market, get our paperwork, resubmit it, and then now I also had help from Councilwoman Cindy Serco and the city manager, Troy Schulte.
Because of the power. Those are good people to have on your side,
yeah,
by the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. The power.
You got through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never underestimate the power of social media.
Yeah.
Because people started immediately tweeting. There was a huge line of people trying to get bread that day. And so in the day that I got shut down, I had a meeting with Troy Schulte and Councilperson Cindy Serco. So the power of social media and food and art is pretty powerful. And the city in general. They're responsive to young innovators. So basically now I have access to pop up anywhere in the city.
So what are you trying to do? Where do you want this to go?
It's really about starting a conversation, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty.
Which is what ties you to Mahlon so effectively mm-hmm. here. Everyone's using bread to start conversations mm-hmm. here.
Well, because we live in complicated times, right? We live in complex where there's no singular perspective anymore. There's a lot of kind of polar opposites and polar views. So food is that access point.
Yes.
Food is that the
it's
table.
Right in the middle, right?
Yeah, that table. And I actually think of my practice as more of a table designer. And so how do I create spaces that people feel welcome? How do I create spaces that people feel comfortable coming to the table, sharing their perspectives, and then also seeing a different side of the field maybe? Mm-hmm. So maybe through Fresh Bread, they're able to actually see vacancy because to a lot of people, I think, in Kansas City, it's pretty invisible.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a kind of a car culture. We drive by. We drive through. So for me, it's about creating that pause and allowing people to be themselves and see themselves within a greater scheme of either Kansas City or the community they're a part of. So
they come buy your bread, and in the course of buying your bread, they look around where mm-hmm. they are and they see things they haven't seen before.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're also meeting other people. Food mm-hmm. isn't – like bread is naturally meant to be shared. It's meant to be broken. It's meant to be torn and shared. And so for me, bread is just kind of that starter, right? And there's tons of puns that go with this kind of field.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's about starting those conversations, but also having long-term impacts, right? Like I'm committed to Kansas City. And Fresh Bread has been able to kind of pop all around. I was actually in St. Louis when Ferguson started happening. And so I did a project that was a bread exchange in St. Louis. So it was that hope that like it's not all bad. There's these also positive gestures that happen. So for me, it's about talking about complex issues.
So can you envision pop-up shops all around the east side of town to sort of begin creating a sense of momentum here?
Yeah, that's something I'm I've kind of scaled back to reevaluate the program. What's the successes? What's the failures? And so for me, it's about working with local individuals. So the two neighborhoods I'm really working with is Ivanhoe and Marlboro. So the idea would be
great neighborhoods, yeah.
To work with neighborhood youth so that they design the pop-up storefront so that they own it, and then possibly hiring out those youth to sell the bread so that I can just bake it, deliver it, and then for periods of time, people can get fresh bread in their neighborhood, maybe every Saturday, maybe every Sunday, just kind of. So I'm really kind of stepping back and really looking at the long-term impact of what that project could be for a period of time.
What a cool idea. What a very cool idea that is.
Thanks.
And just the notion of this very European idea of people going down to the corner each mm-hmm. morning to get their bread and seeing that sort of transform and translate over here mm-hmm. is such a cool idea.
Well, and that's the beauty of the built environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you start to walk, then you notice when the flowers are blooming, then you notice when there's trash in the street, then you notice when the neighbors are out. So it's a way to activate a larger conversation about the city.
We're visiting with Sean Starowitz. He's an artist in residence at Farm to Market Bread Company. So what else are you working on right now? You have your irons. You have your hands in all kinds of pots, Sean. Trying to keep straight with you is difficult for a researcher, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. So I just wrapped up a kind of an introductory lecture at Tulsa Community College. I'm going to be doing a project there in the spring with their students in the Gun 3 Center.
Who funds all these different projects?
It kind of comes and goes. I was fortunate enough this year to receive the Charlotte Street Fellowship,
which helps.
a great opportunity. I've been funded by the Andy Warhol Foundation and the Rocket Grants, which is administered by the Spencer Museum of Art. A lot of times I get brought in by institutions, so institutional support, like Santa Monica Museum brought me out to do a bread bake with Ron Finley, who's an artist and kind of urban gardener that started in South Central L.A.
When you do your inner city bread selling and you're mm-hmm. selling for, I think you said, a buck and a half in a loaf all the way up to $5 or close mm-hmm. to that, do you break even?
Yeah, I do. Well, and it
do you
takes
make a profit?
Yeah, it pays for itself. And like I pay everybody I work with. That's one of my rules. But also there is like a little bit of help from farm to market. So they're not charging me rent,
uh-huh.
but they're charging me ingredients. But I run all the labor. I pack everything. I pay them. We've worked out a pricing point. So there is those kind of opportunities where there is a point where it's not 100% sustainable. But for me, that's not as important as at least starting the conversation and seeing where it goes. Because to say that it's all about money isn't, I think, sells it, cheapens the experience of it, because it's really about a larger set of problems within the city. And it's also about a larger set of issues within how we live our lives and how we think about food, how we think about our neighbors, how we think about our city.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope someone listening to this can sort of get behind what you're doing and call Sean Starowitz at the Farm to Market Bread Company and get behind what you're doing. You know, the storefront that you've designed for the bread selling on the east side, you have this very colorful mm-hmm. Display here, and it looks a little bit like the Wonder Bread
yeah.
logo. Why Wonder Bread?
Well, so I have a personal history with that. I mean, I grew up going
don't
to the Wonder
Bread.
Yeah, going to the Wonder Bread outlet, right? You
yeah.
know, and mini muffins, right? So, but also, so CVS is the highest grossing grocery store in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
more so
I saw
than,
that. And where's this again?
So this is on Main Street. So Main Street, this is right by 39th in Westport Road. So that's
where H&R Block began.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there's big studies about this, about pharmacies becoming high-end grocers, right? But they're not really grocery stores. You can't get fresh food there. It's all preservative-packed, unhealthy kind of. So, you know, Alice Water has this theory that they're getting you sick to get you into the pharmacy so that you get more pills, and then you buy your food while you're getting your pills, and then you get sick again, and it kind of creates this cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was referencing Wonder Bread, and also I worked with a graphic designer on the neighborhood and the feel of the neighborhood. That corner is very eclectic. You have Harlings, which has the most beautiful
yes.
facade in
mm-hmm.
the city. You have a variety. You have the Art Deco building of the Katz drugstore. So drawing in those histories and then kind of activating that space of the vacant storefront.
And it does it work?
Yeah. I did it during the Kansas City Marathon, and the amount of runners that stopped, and I probably delayed their time during that marathon, I apologize.
Because you were doing
the fresh bread stand during the marathon. And so runners would stop and take selfies in front of the storefront. So it is a very colorful thing. And I was able to get a commission from the Art in the Loop Foundation, which is now a billboard down at 13th and Grand, to hopefully still continue the conversation, which is an image of a child running her hands through the waves of the storefront.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a variety of extensions, right? There's a variety of different cultural access points that hopefully my projects allow for. So you can enter it just as a patron buying bread, or you can enter it as an urban designer and these issues of urban affairs. And then you can also enter it as just a child having fun with their parents and running their hands through the waves.
Which is fascinating to me, because it all starts with this idea of a loaf of bread, mm-hmm. a fresh loaf of bread. And that's what sort of is triggering all of this. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just fascinated by that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are what you eat,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and
there's certain things that I think you can't go back on when you taste them,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't if you have a good loaf of bread, and it's not about quantity, it's about quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you, let's say you're used to buying Sara Lee's whatever, and you have to eat like half a loaf because there's not really a lot of flavor and not really a lot of texture to it. But, you know, you get it for $1.50. You can go to my stand and get something for $5, and maybe that will last you the week. But it's just going to be – you're going to eat less of it, but it's going to be better quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to know – you're going to have the hand taste of it. You're going to have the care and the consideration. It's that individualized market versus, like, let's say, IKEA.
Yeah. You know, you travel a lot for your work, as you've mentioned, Sean, and you've been to places like Santa Monica and St. Louis and Madison, Wisconsin. You were recently in St. Louis, as you mentioned, for mm-hmm. a project called Bread for Work. Mm-hmm. And the goal of this project was what? Because you wound up using something called edible bread tokens.
Yeah.
What are those and how do they work?
So the idea was there was this vacant lot that the Pulitzer purchased and did this like call for community grant projects. So I worked with a programmer in St. Louis and we came up with this idea for Bread for Work, which was we collaborated with a time bank that's based in St. Louis called the Cowrie Collective. So it's this idea of like a skill exchange based mm-hmm. on peers. So it's like a bartering kind of sharing economy based on skills. So it's like, oh, I'm a plumber, you're a carpenter, I'll trade you, I'll install a toilet if you lay new trim at my house. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of a network. So to put yourself in the network, we offered you a bread token. So the idea is that it plays into a larger economic system, but also it's the sustaining system of nourishment, right? So we made these like 100% whole wheat loaves that were edible. And so the idea is you get the token and then you put your name into this database and you're looking for these services or goods. And then the Cowrie Collective would connect you to those people looking for the same kind of services or goods.
Huh.
So it kind of creates this sharing economy. And that's something that's so important about bread, too, because it's been on every form of currency,
yeah,
like the wheat penny, Roman coins, all
yeah.
that stuff. And wheat is a, you know, kings used to be able to hold their kingdoms by providing wheat to their citizens, providing
so
bread.
Do you feel today like you're sort of, I should say, I'm visiting with Sean Starowitz, again, artist in residence at the Farm to Market Bread Company. Do you feel like you're on the brink of something big? Does it feel like you're standing on the precipice here as maybe one of these things is really going to lift and take off? Because that's the impression I get from hearing you describe it.
Oh, maybe. I don't really think of
it
that
way.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear that. I kind of just take it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more interested in the things that happen here and in my community here. And if it does take off, great. But I think more of my work is more of a model, and it can be hybridized and stolen and taken into other communities and reevaluated, because I think originality really lies in locality.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's more important about creating these kind of microsystems and micro models that people can make in their own communities.
You know, 10 years from now, Sean, and you look back at all this, you hope you can look back and say what?
That's a great question.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm here for.
I think it comes back to thinking, you know, I think on a city level, that is one of the places where you can really make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
If we've learned anything in the last 8 years with any kind of political administration, we're not getting anywhere. And so for me,
it depends more on
yeah.
people like you than it used to the politicians, because
exactly.
the politicians aren't doing much.
Exactly.
These days.
And somebody said that to me recently, like, oh, art shouldn't be doing the role of politics. And I said, that's exactly what art has always done.
Yeah,
if you were
right.
a Greek, you went to the theater and you voted. Those were the two things that you did inherently, because the theater was the space where you could talk about complex issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the role of the artist is shifting back that way. And we need artists to be innovators and creative people to spark the complex, to talk about the complex issues, right? So I would say that to answer it in short
yeah.
would be that I somehow made some people realize some things differently.
Who's the model? Are you getting your ideas from somewhere? Is there an academic, or is there a model of a community organizer mm-hmm. somewhere that you've sort of latched onto and think he or she's got this thing figured out?
I read a lot. I do a lot of research
mm-hmm.
In my work on like urban affairs. I've been fortunate enough to become friends with Jake Wagner at UMKC's
you've
urban
got
planning.
To be friends with.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And
yeah.
try to get different perspectives, because the other thing too is like, you know, I'm on this show, but I also do nothing alone. I have like a very great group of people that support me and collaborate with me. And so, you know, the idea of one tree doesn't make a forest. But in the last couple of years, I've really had a fortunate relationship with Peter Sellers, who's an opera director that has recently been protested for his Death of Klinghoffer performance at the Met.
Hmm.
And also he's doing a performance right now in London that's The Other Mary, which is the perspective of the crucifixion from Mary Magdalene. So he's known for his controversial kind of work, but he's been a big mentor, and Alice Waters as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been able to kind of work with these practitioners that are really about a philosophy of ideas and practice. And so I look to them. And then, you know, like people like Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker House movement, to Anadah Komrasormi, who's a curator out of Boston in the 30s. You know, so I try to think about all the disciplines rather than just one.
What's your favorite kind of bread to make, Sean?
I'm a big fan. I just started trying to tackle this because I'm originally from Kentucky, is salt risen bread, which is this kind of weird, gross, amazing smelling, kind of cheese like bread. So it's not really like a salt Levain, but it's using salt and a variety of other kind of techniques to, it was kind of a pioneer kind of bread, but it's big in Appalachia where I'm from originally.
What do you make of Melon Elmlett and the trading she does for her loaves of bread? Interesting idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's the oldest form of economy, right? The sharing economy. So what's new about that, right? And that's the beauty of it is we've kind of disconnected that. And so a couple weeks ago, I was the artist in residence at Missouri Bank, and we did this bread exchange kind of project where you filled out barter deposit slips in exchange for loaves of bread, and then you were asked to trade with those. So for me, trading is inherent within food. And food is meant to be shared. You know, there's an Arab proverb that says, the one who eats alone chokes alone.
Sean Starowitz is the artist in resident at the Farm to Market Bread Company. I really enjoyed talking to you. Wish you all the best with your very good work,
thank you.
Sean.
Well, thanks
all
for having me.